Hey guys, Brian Beeler, and thanks for joining the podcast. This week we've got a great conversation with Preetham Mukhatira, who is Director of Product Management at Dell EMC, specifically looking in this case at the Azure Stack HCI, that whole Microsoft-based portfolio. And we're interested in talking to Preetham specifically about a number of things around the HCI offering. They had an update this week with new nodes, but also new software and management capabilities. And, you know, I think Microsoft's HCI solution is the unsung hero in the broader HCI market. It's not something that a lot of people know about, but it's got a great performance profile. We've seen really, you know, lovely things from it, really enjoying our time with all of the Microsoft-based HCI clusters we get in. So we think it's pretty great. I think you'll like this conversation to get up to date on the lesser known side of Dell EMC's HCI portfolio. Joining us on the podcast today, we've got Preetham Mukhatira, Director of Product Management, over at Dell EMC. Preetham, thanks for joining in today.
Thanks, Brian. I'm glad
to
be here.
So product management, product management's a broad title. What are you doing specifically at Dell EMC?
So specifically, product management and my team, our focus is to define clearly what we want to build and why we want to build something, right? All keeping kind of the customer and the market in mind, right? In my case, my team's focus is on the Azure Stack ecosystem, right? That covers okay. Azure Stack Hub and Azure Stack HCI. So my team, we work closely with Microsoft and our customers to bring some of the latest innovations on the HCI and hybrid cloud side to our customers.
Gosh, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago that Kevin and I came down to Round Rock, and one of the first iterations, I think, of this product, which may predate you a little bit, at least on the Azure Stack side, was the Azure Pack solution, which was Dell was at the time was one of the first, I think, or maybe of only two or three that were offering that in a in an appliance. I suppose you remember those days. I don't remember working with you on that one specifically, though.
Oh, yeah. I remember that pretty well, right? So, in fact, that's how I got into kind of the Microsoft hybrid cloud ecosystem. So we started essentially with what was then cloud platform systems. And that was the first iteration of building a hybrid cloud. In those days, hybrid cloud really meant cloud connected, right? As in your on-prem infrastructure was connected to Azure, it could leverage some of the hybrid services like Azure Backup or Azure Site Recovery, but it was built on your disaggregated storage, JBODs, Windows, Azure Pack on Dell infrastructure. So yeah, that's actually how I got started. So that's how I kind of came into product management, and we started to, as that product evolved, we built a team that worked very closely with Microsoft that evolved into Azure Stack.
So. Right. So it's Microsoft has done a good job of iterating pretty quickly on Pack to Stack, and now with Hub and Arc and the HCI products, there's so much going on. Even a cloud-managed solution for remote office or maybe edge locations. You've been there for most of that journey. What have you seen as the progression has taken place over the last few years?
Yeah, it's a very interesting and dynamic space, right? So while we started with cloud platform systems and Azure Pack, the promise of hybrid cloud was really that cloud connected. But we spent a lot of time with our customers globally, right? Understanding their feedback, their requirements, what hybrid really meant to our customers, right? And you would get a really broad spectrum, but you could kind of essentially bucketize them into two groups, right? One group was looking to bring Azure on-prem, right? So essentially, they had started to move some applications or started to develop applications in Azure. They wanted to bring that on-prem, right? That was one group of customers. The second group of customers wanted really to be more efficient, right? Be more streamlined, reduce complexity, simplify management of their existing data center footprint. And for them, they were looking at a more of a cloud model, right? A cloud operating model rather than Azure itself. But they really liked the sort of the connectivity or the option to be able to leverage cloud for things like DR, right? So where you don't have to stand up your own DR infrastructure. So during those early days, we saw kind of this broad spectrum that we were able to bucketize. And that's really how you saw our strategy evolve from Azure Pack into Azure Stack. And literally today, if you see Azure Stack is two buckets, right? Azure Stack Hub and Azure Stack HCI, right? So we can almost trace the progression to where we are today from some of those conversations we had back then.
Way back when, yeah. So it's really interesting because I think with the Pack solution back in those early days, I mean, Microsoft and with Azure were really on the front edge of this, and you know, we'll get to it in a second. You can't ignore the VMware part of your business, and I want to talk about that just a little bit, even though I know it's not yours. But
you're going to go there
just to help everyone understand. But in the early days, I mean, Microsoft really had a nice lead, and I think that's underestimated or undervalued maybe by people today that really see. And why don't we get it? We'll just get straight into it. Let's see some of the things that you guys have done on the VMware side with VMware Cloud Foundry, with Rail, with the Ready Nodes. I mean, there's been a lot of emphasis there for good reason. I feel like on the Azure side, you guys just don't get quite as much love in the organization, but have been around doing this for a very long time and have what's become a pretty hardened solution.
No, I think it's a great point, right? And a lot of our customers have similar questions as well. So I think, first of all, VMware is absolutely a critical part of the Dell Technologies ecosystem, no doubt. At the same time, Microsoft has been a long-standing Dell partner, right? For us at Dell, we have the luxury to partner with both, right? And bring the best of breed for both, because what we have found out from our customers, again, is customers aren't picking one or the other, right? It is not a choice of VMware versus Microsoft when it comes to our customers. They're very discrete use cases where customers are looking to deploy mission-critical apps that run traditional applications on VMware infrastructure. They're going to continue to do that. At the same time, there are a certain group of customers as well as divisions within other customers that in other enterprises that run Hyper-V, Windows Server, and that continues to be the case. And for us, we want to meet our customers where they are at, right? And we want to make sure we are delivering value to the business, not having them constantly having to pick sides. So yeah, I think we've built a great, a great positioning between the VMware ecosystem and the Microsoft ecosystem that can meet our customers where they are.
So tell me a little bit about that. Where are you seeing customers, either verticals or named customers that you can talk about? Where are you seeing success with the Azure-based offerings, either Hub or HCI? And how is that? Maybe if you can talk a little bit about those workloads that are unique or why Microsoft technologies are suitable for those use cases.
Yeah, and I'll start with Hub, right? So Hub is an easy one in many ways because it is Azure, right? In Hub, you're essentially deploying your own region of Azure, whether it's in your data center or in your edge location, you're deploying your own region of Azure, right? So that's easy, and you're consuming your Azure IaaS and PaaS services, whether it's web, DB, or IoT services, and you've started in Azure, but you have clear use cases, whether it is security, data sovereignty, or even sort of latency to keep your data to keep your processing closer to the edge, you use Azure Stack Hub, right? It's pretty clear, cut and dry, right? With Azure Stack HCI, a lot of the customers we are targeting are customers who already have an Hyper-V install base, a Hyper-V ecosystem, right? And for them, HCI is a great opportunity to, again, modernize, right? To simplify management, reduce the complexity in terms of how they size their system, how they deploy their system, how they scale their system. And that's really where we see a lot of opportunity for the HCI space. And within the Hyper-V Windows Server space, over 50% of our customers are running 2012 R2 and or older, right? So there is a massive market there to modernize. And the best system to modernize is really your HCI system, right? So yeah, and, I think I answered one part of the yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to hit on one thing, because I want to be sure that we're clear on this, that it's not necessarily always one or the other, too. You could pair HCI with Hub. You can pair HCI with Azure in the cloud using Azure Site Recovery. I mean, there's 100 different ways to do this, and it's not just one or the other.
No, absolutely, right? And we see this with most of, and especially some of our large enterprise customers. They have VMware, they have Microsoft, some even have OpenStack, right? There are still OpenStacks out there, you know, so that's, it is what it is. But so there is a, there is that large ecosystem, and particularly with Microsoft, we see a lot of growth in, to kind of what you had asked earlier, right? In regions like Europe, EMEA, Asia Pac, right there too, we are seeing some of the high growth areas, Eastern Europe, Southeast Asia, Greater China. So there are a lot of regions where we are seeing massive cloud growth. And tied to that cloud growth is the growth in on-prem hybrid solutions as well, right? So I think it spans industries. Of course, the industries with the highest data sovereignty and regulatory requirements are the ones that are most excited or are the early adopters of this. But the second wave of adoption is going to come from edge computing, right? And the need to run these Azure services or rapidly deploy innovation to the edge closer to your data. So,
yeah, well, we've certainly seen that as a big movement. And, you know, I guess we used to look at it as sort of remote office, branch office. But with all of these devices, whether it's security cameras or analytics or use cases like driving displays at a gas station, right? That something's got to drive all of those interactions. And setting up cumbersome large infrastructures in these places often isn't tenable or even possible. So having something like this that can quickly go out to the edge is pretty, I mean, it's happening, right? You have customers, I presume, at this point that are doing that with the HCI product.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And again, going back to how we started the early part of the conversation, the cloud platform systems, right? CPS, Azure Pack. When we were bringing back in 2013, 2014, when that was the conversation, edge meant robo, right? Mm-hmm. That was where deploying some of these applications in locations within sort of retail and some of these robo-like systems was what the conversation was. But what we've seen over the last few years in particular, it's become more about and tied to the growth of 5G and more devices closer to the edge. There's a ton of data being generated there. And some of our customers today have to incur high costs in terms of time and actual costs to transfer the data over to a public cloud, process it there, and get the results back, right? Mm-hmm. So for a lot of them, it makes a lot more sense to deploy that inference or application or closer to the data and be able to process it in real time. So it's starting to become starting to go down the model where your innovation is deployed to the edge, and that's where you want infrastructure that is also easy to manage, easy to deploy, easy to scale. A large use case, particularly globally, is smart cities. Right? Smart cities are coming up across the world, right? Especially developing countries and are hugely embracing that concept. And with that comes in a ton of sensors, cameras, end-user devices. That explosion of growth means more infrastructure needs to be deployed closer to the data. So, yeah.
So let's talk about the infrastructure a little bit, because I think that's important, especially in the context of the HCI portfolio. You had an announcement this week, some new open manage and lifecycle controller management types of integrations. So let's sort of break down what you did there this week, starting on the hardware side. So you guys have been based on PowerEdge for some time. That's not necessarily new. But you've got some new nodes out, and go through what's your favorite part. You've got three new nodes. Let's talk through some of those.
Yeah. So in some ways, right, this is for us, there are two parts to the announcements you'll hear this week, right, between us and Microsoft. This is a very interesting time because of sort of the timing of even today's podcast, as well as the announcements that came out, right? So the first part of it, let me break down what we are doing today, right? Today, a large portion of our customers, all of our HCI customers are on Windows Server and S2D, right? So at Dell EMC, our strategy has been to ensure our customers are successful, right, deploying their HCI infrastructure. It is not about providing hardware or PowerEdge or piece parts, right? It's about making sure they are successful. To do that, we take a full lifecycle view of the product, right? Which means coupled with the hardware infrastructure are software assets that automate day zero and day end operations, right? Mm-hmm. That has been core to how we've approached HCI across all our HCI products, right? Not just the Microsoft ones, and even within the Microsoft with Windows Server and S2D. So the AX announcement that came out today, in a sense, is carving out a very specific strategy for us that says, yes, this is built on PowerEdge, but AX has certain values, right? Values being it is purpose-built, it is engineered, it is automated, lifecycle managed, not just at a node level, but at the cluster level, right? Which is actually what customers deploy again, right? So that's really one part of the AX announcement, right, that we made. Mm-hmm. That's really key. The other piece that you've heard that Microsoft brought up and sort of announced at Inspire today was around Azure Stack HCI OS.
Right.
So as I said, the first part was Windows Server plus S2D. Microsoft sees this as a good opportunity for them to really build out a discrete HCI OS that's based on Windows Server and S2D at its core, but discrete in the sense that you can now rapidly deliver innovation to this HCI OS as well, right? With the Windows Server, it was based on your LTSC releases that came every 2 to 3 years, and you had to align with that. HCI, we expect more rapid innovation features to be added more frequently, right? Whether it is stretch clustering, which was announced this week, or other features that will come up newly in the HCI OS. The goal is to deliver those rapidly. And that's why the idea was to create this new OS and ensure that we can meet again customers where they are. And this, and on the Dell EMC side, this takes our partnership to the next level, right? So from that legacy Windows Server OS to now this Azure Stack HCI OS. And in many ways, Microsoft's strategy here validates our approach, right? So our approach being this automated product-like approach. So now with this HCI OS, Microsoft is treating HCI as its own product, right? So it gets the VAC integration, the deploy and day-end operations from both Microsoft and Dell EMC, right? So it's in some ways, that's really solidification of our strategy in some ways. And it's great to see that coming from Microsoft as well.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Inspire, for those that don't know, is their partner conference, right? So this is their annual now virtual partner conference. The so on the hardware side, I know you guys don't get wrapped up in the hardware as much as the overall solution. However, there's a couple things I want to point out. You've got support. And actually, to take one step back, Microsoft's done a really great job with HCI to engage new technologies in many ways faster than their competitors. Persistent memory is one of those. And now you've got support for that in the AX640, which is great. So that's an opportunity if somebody has a very high performance need to be able to leverage those PMM modules. So that's pretty cool. But the other one I think that's exciting is the AMD node, and there aren't a lot of those out there for the Microsoft HCI solution. I know, like I said, you're not really pushing the hardware as much as the solution, but just take a minute on the hardware and let's talk through that and what's going on there and what you guys are excited about.
Yeah, I mean, hardware is still... the foundation is foundational for us, right? It's still core to what we deliver. And again, there, right, we have our Intel platforms which meet our customers' needs in terms of capacity, performance. We have our 640 based platforms that give you that 1U high density that's also good for some of your robo-like locations. And then we have our 740, which is one of our most versatile platforms, right? A majority of our nodes sold today are our 740, and it has many configurations from hybrid to all flash. So I think we've got a good breadth covered between the 640 and 740, including NVMe-based configurations. And that can meet our customers, whether it is general-purpose virtualization, whether they're looking at web apps, databases, SQL. So we've got a good breadth there, right? But AMD is also exciting because now we can bring this high core count, right? The innovation that AMD is bringing to their processors to now HCI and really cover that breadth when it comes to what our customers want, right? So we're starting with the 6515 AMD 1U box today, right? That's and then we'll talk about roadmap discussions to bring some of the 2U boxes as well soon. So we believe there is, and with some of the densities you get out of the AMD platform and even the innovations that can drive to the storage side as well, I think we're really well covered between Intel and AMD to kind of give our customers the breadth there of choice.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the other thing too that maybe not as well known is that Azure Stack HCI is perfectly capable of running in a two-node cluster, which is not always the case with HCI, that some need multiple, at least three, but some need more nodes than that. So that's an important note. And to that end, as I think you know, we've got that cluster in right now with the AX640s that was actually supposed to be at Inspire. If that had gone off in person, we wouldn't have this lovely keel case full of Azure Stack HCI gear from you. But we'll be going down that road and looking at workloads, looking at things like SQL Server that happen at the edge, and looking specifically in this case, I think we're really interested in resiliency, what the systems are capable of. What happens if something fails at the edge? What sort of protections are in place? I think that kind of stuff. You talked about some of these workloads like analytics and inference and that kind of thing. That's all great, but your system's got to be operational for that to happen, right? And you got to be able to lose a drive or a node or a NIC or whatever and keep cruising. So that's what we're interested in. And I know you hit on it when you were talking before about the integrations with Windows Admin Center, WAC as the cool kids call it. But you've got some new integrations or enhanced integrations with OpenManage there. Talk about manageability and what's important there. Because you did touch on the cluster management, but I just want to dive a little deeper there. Yeah. Talk about Lifecycle Controller Manager. Talk about iDRAC access for out-of-band, whatever you want. It's open to you.
Yeah, we often focus about getting a system up and running and some of the automation needed there, right? That's kind of some of the first things we do because that's the first experience customers get. But what matters the most to them is what it takes to operationalize a system, right, and manage a system. And this is where we've been working kind of more on the cloud side, the cloud operational model is very important to us, right? It's just like when you go to Azure, you get a system that is fully operational. You don't worry about the patches or updates to it. It just works, right? And the latest gets applied. We've been heavily inspired by that model in terms of how we bring and deliver our infrastructure as well, right? Because in the end, if customers are looking at simplicity and essentially reducing complexity, that should apply to also their day-end operations, right? What we've learned talking to a lot of customers, as we bring in more technologies to the infrastructure, complexity rises for them, right? They've got to learn this new technology, understand how to manage it and operationalize it. And we don't want our customers to focus there, right? We want our customers to focus on the outcomes, what applications they want to deploy that, how are they going to manage their applications, how are they going to manage and onboard their tenants, right? In the end, we want them to look at themselves as a service provider, right? Or a cloud provider to their internal organizations. So that's really kind of the premise to how we've approached this. And in order to deliver that, patching and updating is one of the biggest pain points a lot of our customers find, especially patching and updating of a complex system, right? That includes compute, storage, networking. And we are also talking about bringing in some of our best of breed data protection and storage as well into this ecosystem, right? So life cycling that is very critical, and patching and updating is very critical, right? Especially when it comes to quarterly patches or updates or even monthly security updates. Our customers need to be very nimble there. And that's where we invest heavily into automation. And in this case, we want it to be an integrated experience into WAC, right? So with Microsoft's ability to update the OS, we come in, integrate with Microsoft in a cluster-aware manner, as in we drain nodes, ensure your workloads continue to run, there is no disruption to your workloads, and we update the node with one reboot, right? We don't want different tools coming in and updating the same node and causing a longer downtime, right? We want just enough downtime and make sure our node is updated and brought back rehydrated into the cluster, right? So that's really a huge focus area for us going into some of the sort of day-end innovations that we are bringing to the table.
So when you think about what you guys have done with Rail, basically putting that management layer on top of a bunch of ready nodes and taking all that operational benefit and rolling it into a similar concept, how do you see this becoming an appliance? Like, you're starting to get there, maybe you're closer than I think, but do you feel like this is almost an appliance like Rail? I mean, what are the similarities or differences there in terms of depth of integration?
Yeah, I think in terms of how we are approaching it, we want to be consistent across our approach for HCI, right? Rail has taken an appliance model, which we believe is the right model for a lot of this, for a lot of our customers who want to reduce complexity, right? So that is why you'll see a lot of things in common. For us, the move towards an AX brand is highlighting our intentions, right? It clearly states our intention is to be that appliance to offer you this fully automated experience. And again, PNU is one aspect. The other is things like call home, right? The ability to detect a failure and report back to our support engineers even before a customer is aware of it, right? Or a customer knows it. So our support can be ready to resolve that. So those are things we want to bring in, and that's kind of bringing that full gamut of day-end operations. And yeah, you'll if you start to compare, you'll see a lot in common across the board, across our portfolio, because we have a consistent set of sort of brand values, right, when we bring an appliance to market.
Okay, well, that makes sense. And just the cluster management stuff, I think, is a big differentiator, because I'm not sure that others that offer Azure Stack HCI have made that necessarily investment required to handle both the OS and the Microsoft applications, in addition to the drives, the NICs, the, you know, the system itself, the BIOS, all those things that may need to be updated. And that makes a big difference. That's really the difference too, in some cases, of having to have somebody on site to manage that, and the ability to kick that off remotely, or, you know, using, you know, some other methodology for rolling those updates out. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, and in the current environment that we are in, right, there is more automation, more remote management only helps our customers, right? Because at this in these times, we don't want our customers to worry about managing infrastructure, having to go in and figure out where the problem lies, give them different tooling, one for your hardware to connect to your outer band controller and troubleshoot what's going on there, and then go to another subsystem for something else.
Right.
The whole integrated management approach, the call home approach, all that make it seamless, so our customers really can focus on the value they deliver.
So we talked a little bit about two node. I think that's a popular, or will be an increasingly popular, you know, buying modality for the edge, and that's great. But I don't want to minimize the scale that Stack HCI can accomplish. I think it's something like 16 nodes and 3 petabytes or something in one cluster. I mean, that's if that's right, that's pretty good amount of storage and compute in
that's
16
right.
nodes. Okay, so you can do that, and then you can do what, set up several clusters and have thousands conceivably of nodes. So there's a lot of room to grow with these things.
Absolutely, right? And again, we are continuously working closely with Microsoft to see how we can even expand that further, right? You'll start to see on the Azure Stack Hub side talk about multi-scale unit, right, which is essentially taking your single 16 node and the ability to expand that beyond 16, right? And it's really a capacity expansion. So a lot of the underlying technology is still HCI based on some of the HCI Windows Server technologies. So absolutely, I think this HCI will also see the benefits of that. And again, this is why we need a vehicle through which we can innovate and deliver capabilities faster, not wait for the LTSC Windows Server cycle to push updates. But yeah, 16 nodes today, with the amount of density we have in terms of cores, in terms of memory, in terms of storage, is really high. So we can meet majority of our customers' demands through that flexibility that we offer today.
Yeah, and I suppose if you need more, you can connect to the cloud, right? Get more capacity.
Right.
And so we've spent some time with Azure Site Recovery, and that's pretty cool. What are you seeing in the field, though, with your HCI customers? Are you seeing much cloud engagement? Is it mostly on-prem? If they're engaging with the cloud, what are they doing? I'm just sort of curious to understand what you're seeing in practical terms.
Yeah, I would say during the early days of hybrid, right, one of the most interesting and value-added capabilities was Azure Site Recovery, right, from a hybrid in the context of hybrid, because you had this DR capability without standing up a DR infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just having that capability. You could even have dry runs, right? You could test your DR capability with Azure as well without having that infrastructure or paying for that infrastructure, right? So you would only pay for it in the event of a disaster, right? So mm-hmm. that is, I think, by far the biggest, the most important hybrid use case a lot of our customers find. But now with the HCI OS, I think the idea of bringing more features onto this, I think having the ability to monitor your infrastructure and sort of have it Azure connected, so you're managing to a certain degree, you have visibility into your HCI clusters in your Azure portal, I think is a big one, right? Having that Azure resource provider, the ability for that to talk to your HCI cluster and show your HCI resources in the Azure portal, I think it's going to help a lot of our customers, right? I think that's been one of the other asks we've heard a lot, especially customers who've got both Azure and Azure Stack HCI. But I think overall customers are excited about bringing more of the Azure services to on-prem as well, right? Once you have connectivity to Azure, you guys have heard of Azure Arc that was announced last year.
Yeah.
There are more data services that could come on board. The sky's the limit now, right? So you have this the ability to bring a broader range of services, not just your traditional IaaS or your traditional general purpose VMs or applications onto this infrastructure. So I think we're just getting started there. I'm really excited to see in the coming months, years, what we do with the hybrid capabilities.
Well, how much education are you having to do with your customers on what's available there? Because we really love Microsoft in many ways, but they don't always socialize these things really well. And, you know, if I'm being honest, I think they could do more education, more information on the HCI product. It is still one of the, I don't know if it's the best kept secret in HCI, but it's certainly close, because the performance, and, you know, I know that's not always the lead, but the performance that's there is amazing. The embracing of new technologies, like we already talked about, persistent memory is impressive. Not that everyone needs it, but the fact that it's there if you want it is not true across all other hypervisors or HCI clusters. So there's a lot there. But so what do you have to do from an education standpoint to help customers say, you know, this hardware and software solution solves your current on-prem pain, and that's great, but here's all the other stuff you can do to integrate with Azure and the services, like we've talked about, Site Recovery Manager, but whatever else is available. Do you have to do a lot of handholding there? Do customers already understand that? And maybe it's just a wide gap.
I think there is never I'm done kind of state in communication, right? You've got to be constantly communicating. Sometimes over communicating is better than under communicating, right? So sure. I think overall we can all do a good job, right? I think Microsoft has realized that, and that's one of the reasons they are carving out this Azure Stack HCI OS, right? They really wanted to have a dedicated focus, not just within some of the marketing organizations, but overall from product to marketing to sales, which is how we have also been operating with our AX nodes, right? We've treated it as a discrete product, discrete set of use cases. We have customer case studies that we build and share so other customers can learn from our experience, right? So. And I think coupled with our services consulting organizations, we've got a lot of that in place today to help our customers rationalize this and derive value, right, from these hybrid capabilities. But I think Microsoft is, with this move, they are really signaling to the market that they are serious about this. So far, yes, to your point, they've been dabbling. They've had HCI for a long time, but it's, yeah, to your point, it's right. The best kept secret, right? It was Gartner didn't track them, IDC didn't track them, Microsoft couldn't track it, right? Because it was a feature of the OS. So
yeah, it was a server OS sale, and even for the longest time, they were calling it, S2D is what you've said a couple times, but Storage Spaces Direct.
Yeah, WSSD and all, yeah.
Yeah. The naming was not great. It was confusing calling it storage when it was more. Right. Clearly I see your point.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely a benefit. And yeah, there's a lot of work still ahead, but we're excited to see how that evolves.
Well, you're making good progress. I think the work that you guys are doing will help drive, obviously, the awareness because you're making a concerted effort there. And I mean, you can tell the difference. You're not just floating out nodes and saying, okay, here's a ready node for HCI for Azure Stack, go enjoy customer and have fun and then stop there. That it's the software integration that's really going to be the differentiator for these things. Because, as much as we love PowerEdge, we've got probably 30 of them in our lab at the moment. You know, at the end of the day, there are a lot of great servers that can run Azure Stack HCI. It's what goes beyond that to make, like you said, day N, day 100, day 1000, that experience and that manageability and that total cost of ownership, reduce that and just make it a good time. I mean, that's the trick, right? Go ahead.
Sorry, I just was going to say that for us, right, we constantly ask ourselves, where can we add value to our customers, right? This is HCI, but where can we add value? And that's, it's tied to that.
Okay, so you've got new nodes, new software integration, a lot of momentum coming out of Inspire, a lot of excitement around that product. So what's next? Go sell, or do you have other short-term goals on the radar?
Well, this is another thing that's often not very clear when an announcement happens at a Microsoft forum. These are not orderable yet. This is ongoing work. This is signaling what's coming up in the near future, right? So, quote unquote. And so, I would say let's stay tuned. Ignite is going to be an important milestone coming up soon after. In the next coming months, we'll make more of our intent and next steps clear there. But we already have a fantastic platform with the AX Windows Server S2D. We have approached it as a HCI system already, right? So customers today can deploy HCI with Windows Server and S2D, right? And I think that's a great start as we progress into this new partnership relationship with Microsoft. So we've got an exciting second half ahead.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Like I said, we've got your cluster in now, and we intend to do look at some workloads like SQL Server that are commonly occurring out there at the edge, and then we'll get some video of it when we make the system go through pain of failing a node and looking at things like, what does this cluster management software look like? How does it work when it goes through and does updates? Microsoft's always good for pushing updates, so I don't think we'll have any problem finding reasons to run that update. So I know we're looking forward to it, and happy you guys sent that over. So that's our next steps. Thanks for joining today, Preetham. This was a great conversation. The less told story of HCI at Dell EMC. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Brian, great conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Preetham again for joining us on the podcast. Great conversation. Like I said, we're going to be working over this cluster that we've got. If you've got any thoughts or questions, hit us up on our subreddit, reddit.com/r/storage review. Happy to have a conversation there, or info@storageview.com, or Twitter, or Instagram, or anywhere social posts can be made. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week.